All right, take your Bibles and turn to 1 Thessalonians, please. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. We welcome you here tonight, and if you're joining us through live stream, we welcome you to our services as well. And whether you're watching live now or you're going to be joining us later when you rewatch it, we're glad that you're here. All right, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, please. I want you to follow along with me in verses 5 through 10 tonight, and we won't make it through all of these verses tonight. This will be a two-part message that, Lord willing, will continue again next time. But follow along as I read in verse 5. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were in samples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Tonight we're going to talk about the significance of the gospel. In our last study in 1 Thessalonians here, we talked about how Paul greeted the Thessalonian church, how he encouraged them in the Lord. He reminded them of their position in Christ. He revealed to them his prayer for them, and he acknowledged their labor and their love of the Lord. We remember in verse 2 where he said, "We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in the Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father." And he talked about, really, what we discovered was that the church in Thessalonica was an exemplary church, and they loved the Lord, they were faithful to the Lord, they labored, and Paul mentions how much of an impression that they had made on him, to the point that he always mentioned them in his prayers. Now we get to verses 5 through 10, and Paul, his attention is shifted towards the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we're going to talk tonight about the significance of the gospel. The gospel is certainly the good news. The good news for mankind is that we have a way to have our sins forgiven and our soul to be made right with God. That is the good news for mankind. We're aliens from God. We're enemies of God. We deserve the wrath of God, and yet God loved us and sent His Son. Amen? And that's good news. It's the message that all need to hear, the death, the burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul was passionate about the gospel of Jesus Christ because of its life-changing power. Paul said in Romans 1 and verse 16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." He said in 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 18, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God." Verse 16 of chapter 9 in 1 Corinthians says, "For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel." Paul was passionate about the gospel because of its life-changing power. This passage before us here tonight is a powerful portion of Scripture. And through it, the Apostle Paul speaks of the relevance and the significance of the gospel in every society and throughout every generation. And listen, we're far from the days in which the Apostle Paul penned these words, but I would tell you tonight that the power of the gospel remains the same. And if there was ever a time that this world needed the gospel, it's now. The message of Christ, it's as needful and relevant as it was then. And tonight I want to begin our study on this unchanging truth regarding the gospel and the significance of it in our world. First of all, I want you to consider with me in verse 5 the authority of the gospel. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you, for your sakes. We're going to consider the authority of the gospel. Let's pray. We'll begin. Heavenly Father, I pray that you lead tonight, and Lord, that you just give the words. And Lord, I pray that you take the scriptures and apply it where it needs to be applied tonight, and Lord, that you challenge us with these truths as God's people, as members of a New Testament church. Lord, that you'd be glorified in it. In Jesus' name, amen. In verse 5, we read here how Paul says, when the gospel came to these people in Thessalonica, and we read in Acts chapter 17, the beginning of the gospel, we did this a couple of weeks ago, how in the beginning of the gospel coming to Thessalonica, how it came with much affliction, there was persecution, there was a big uproar in the city because of the preaching of the gospel. And Paul states here that the gospel came unto you not in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost. And here Paul reveals what separates the gospel from anything else in this world, from humanistic teachings. I mean, because there are teachings and there are things that, you know, that some in this world might produce and say they're life-changing, they're helpful, they're all these kinds of things. And there might be some of that to some degree, but there's nothing like the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it's separated from all other teachings of men. The gospel has an authority that no other message can claim. Notice the presentation of the gospel. In verse 5, the first part, he says, our gospel came not in word only. Now, let me say here, when Paul says our gospel, he's not claiming ownership or a divine claim of the gospel to himself. He's simply referring to the gospel that he has received himself and the one that he is sharing with all who will hear. In 1 Corinthians 15:1, Paul says, I declare unto you the gospel of Jesus Christ. In verse 3, he says, I declare that which I also have received, and now I'm preaching it to you, giving it to you. Paul is claiming that the gospel he preaches is not in word only. It's not something that he merely speaks about. It's not something that is just a concept that's, you know, unreachable out in the atmosphere, but it's a message that profoundly transformed his own life. The gospel I'm preaching, it's not just a bunch of words. It's not flowery speech. It's not eloquence. It's not man's wisdom. It's not theory. It isn't something that he only has head knowledge of, but it's a message that lived within his heart. It's not the same thing as humanistic philosophies. It's not the same thing as theories of men. It's not just a bunch of words. Also, he's not depending solely upon his ability to articulate the gospel in a way that would impact the people who would hear. He said there that it's not in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost. Paul knew that the gospel was more than just words. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. And listen, we would do well to remember this and embrace this truth, because reaching those about us with the gospel of Jesus Christ cannot be achieved simply with head knowledge of salvation. We must have the heart knowledge as well. What is it that makes a person an impactful, powerful, passionate witness for Jesus Christ? It's the fact that their own life has been changed. Our words alone don't possess the ability to persuade men to come to Christ. We need the help of the Spirit of God in association with practicing what we preach, because it's real in my own life. Understanding the gospel in our head, listen, it has to be accompanied with faith in the heart. Can't tell you how many times I've been witnessing to somebody, and I depend upon the Spirit of God for leadership, and I can't tell you how many times there have been when I just have a sense of the Spirit of God who is just bringing verses to my mind, bringing things that are applicable in the situation to talk to somebody, and you see the conviction of the Spirit of God come over them. It's not in just flowery words or skill, but it's in the power of the Holy Spirit. It's the power of God unto salvation. Secondly, not just the presentation, but notice the power in the person. He says, the word of God, the gospel didn't come in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost. Notice the word power there. It's the Greek word dunamis. You've heard this word before. It's where we get our English word dynamite from. It means strength. It means ability. So the gospel didn't come in word only, but also in ability, in strength, in power. It's a transforming kind of power. The power to change a life, the power to live as Jesus Christ would have us to live. This power comes through the Holy Spirit of God. It's a powerful gospel that transformed these people. Because notice verse 6 in the first part. When the gospel came to them in power, what was the result? Verse 6, and ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word. What was the result? When they received the word, it transformed them from pagan, amen, to followers of Jesus Christ. It's a powerful gospel to change a life. The word followers literally means an imitator. Those who once had followed the pagan rituals of human philosophy and religion had now become imitators of the people of God, and more importantly, imitators of God Himself. Paul revealed that he could see a drastic and beneficial change in their lives. They became followers of Jesus Christ. The gospel had been heard, it had been received by them, and the result was a conversion and a change of life. It's a powerful gospel. Let me say to you tonight, following Jesus Christ isn't just about learning some interesting religious facts about Him. It's about allowing the power of God to change your life. Your life, individually. Let me give you an example, even from Scripture, of a life change because of the power of the gospel. And there's multitudes. But do you remember how Jesus' disciples, before He was crucified, namely Peter, but all of them said the same thing? Lord, we'll die with You. Lord, we'll do anything for You. We'll stand with You. They claim to be fearless. We're not afraid of the Roman government. We're not afraid of the Jews. Lord, we'll die with You. And yet when Jesus was arrested, what happened? They all ran like a bunch of cowards. Peter even denied the Lord 3 times. The rest were nowhere to be seen. Remember this? And yet, something happened to them in Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 2, we see on the day of Pentecost that Peter stood up and he boldly preached the Lord Jesus Christ, the other apostles as well, filled with the Spirit of God, speaking in other languages, proclaiming Jesus Christ. And they that gladly received the word were baptized, and there were added unto them about 3,000 souls that day. Why the difference? Where not much more before this, they ran away and hid like cowards. To this day, where they knew that they would even be risking their own lives, but they continued to preach the gospel. What happened? They were filled with the Spirit, because Jesus said in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, go over there with me. Acts 1 and verse 8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, in all Judea, in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth." Jesus said, you're going to receive power. That word power is the same word, dunamis, ability, after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. What happened in Acts chapter 2? After the Spirit of God came upon them, they preached Jesus Christ with boldness and with power. What a transformation in their own life. From cowards to boldly proclaiming the truth because of the power of the gospel and of the Holy Spirit of God. The evangelist D.L. Moody, he tells a story, or told a story, walking down the street one day when he was stopped by a drunk man who said, "Mr. Moody, you converted me at one of your meetings." Moody replied, "Well, it certainly looks as if I converted you, because if Jesus had converted you, you wouldn't be here drunk." Amen? Amen? I submit to you tonight that the real gospel has not lost its power. It's not obsolete. It's absolute. And it changes lives. I'm grieved. And I'm angry even at churches, Baptist churches, who say they preach a gospel, but they don't preach the real gospel, because it's not repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. It's churches that just say, excuse me, I don't mean to cover your mouth. I need to cover up. I need a mask. I think I just spread some COVID everywhere. Sanitize your face. Maybe the Lord's telling me to calm down. Churches that preach, you just got to believe on Jesus. God loves you. He'll save your soul. Here, read these three verses and repeat this prayer, and now you're a child of God. But no conviction from the Spirit of God. No time for the power of God and the gospel to move on their heart and show them the wretchedness of their soul and their sin and their condemnation before God, and where they call out to God in mercy, "God, forgive me, I'm a sinner, I need your mercy." Just believe on Jesus. God loves you. Hey, we had 37 people saved today on visitation. Probably not. Why? Because the power of God wasn't there. Because it's not a real gospel. But here's the other side of the coin. When someone sits under the preaching, or they have a witness from somebody, and the Spirit of God begins to do a work in their heart, what do they begin to see? That I'm lost, I'm undone before God. God is holy. I deserve His judgment, and I come before the Lord with a humble, repentant heart. God, I am so sorry for offending you. I need your mercy. And I believe that Jesus died for my sin, and I want your salvation. When there's real repentance, because of the real gospel, it leads to a real life change. 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. The way that I think, the way that I talk, the way that I understand, the desires of my heart, they're all brand new, and they're toward God to please God and obey God. And there's a radical change in a person's life when they're truly born again. Why is it that you see churches so full of young people who live and look just like the world? Oh, I love Jesus. Oh, I've been saved. Their life is no different than anybody else out there in the world. Why? Why do you see that? Because it's not a real gospel, probably. Yeah, I'm a little fired up tonight. But it's the Word of God. And it's the power of God. If there's ever a time when this world needs the gospel, it is now, friend. And it better be a real gospel. Paul says that when the gospel came to you, it wasn't just a bunch of words. It was in the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. We look at the power in the person. But then thirdly, we see under our first point is the persuasion. Paul says in the last of verse 5, "And in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake." Now Paul is going to give us a little bit more, about his own testimony and about his example when we get into chapter 2. And so I won't take a lot of time with this right now, but the point that I want to draw out here is that these people didn't just hear words from Paul. They saw in his life, up close and personal, that what he talked about was real because of what they saw in Paul's life. His walk matched his talk. He says, "You know what manner of men we were among you." You could see in my own life this transforming power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Secondly, I want you to note with me in verses 6 and 7, the acceptance of the gospel. So we see the authority of the gospel, that it's not just a bunch of words, but it's the power of God. But secondly, we see the acceptance of the gospel in verse 6, "And he became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were in samples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia." Well, how do we know they accepted the gospel? Well, first of all, we note their conversion. He says, "Ye became followers of us," that's Silas and Timothy as well, "and of the Lord, having received the word." Here's their conversion. So the gospel came to them. The preaching of the gospel was in power. It convicted hearts and minds. It produced real conversion. They became followers of us. But then you note their commitment. How do we know they were committed to the gospel? Because they received it in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. Even though there was persecution, even though there was affliction, they were faithful to the gospel. This is a demonstration of their commitment. You know how many times I have seen this? People might come to church or somebody makes a profession of faith. And initially, in the very beginning, man, they are on fire for the Lord, as it appears anyway. But a little time goes by, and the realities of the Christian life and the realities of the gospel begin to take hold. And the heat gets turned up a little bit in their life, and all of a sudden, they can't take the heat, and they're nowhere to be found. They're like the seed that's broadcast out, and it falls into some ground, and it springs up immediately. It starts to flourish and so on, but it doesn't have any real root to it. So when the sun comes out and the heat comes, because there's no real root, it dries up. They go up like a rocket, come down like a rock. These people, when the gospel came to them and there was real conversion, even though there was a lot of persecution, remember what happened in Acts 17? How the city was in an uproar and they pulled out of the house of Jason and remember that? And they persecuted him and others. They stayed true to the gospel. But then we see in verse 7, not only their conversion and their commitment to the gospel, we see their communication. "So that ye were in samples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia." The word "in samples" is the Greek word "tupas." It means, now follow this, it means the mark of a stroke or blow, an imprint. So when you have something that is soft, malleable, something that is hard or that makes an impact with it, what does it do? When it leaves an imprint, doesn't it? You follow that? That's what this word in samples means, a figure formed by a blow or an impression. It means an example, in the technical sense, the pattern to conformity to which a thing must be made. It's an example to be imitated. In other words, they were formed into, because of conversion, because of the power of the gospel, made into the image of Jesus Christ, being conformed into the image of Jesus Christ. This is why they became followers of Christ. An impression was left. And they became ensamples to all that believed in Macedonia and in Achaia. Now we can just read over those words and not really think much of it. But when we start to understand the localities of these places, all of a sudden we get a little bit different picture here. Now, they're in Thessalonica, and Paul mentions Macedonia and Achaia. The northern and southern parts of Greece is what he's talking about. Thessalonica was in the northern part of Macedonia. It was a chief city of Macedonia. Paul was writing this letter back to the church at Thessalonica from Corinth. Corinth was located in the southern part of Achaia, which was also a chief city. And so you've got the north, and you've got all the way down to the south. And Paul says you were in samples to all that believe in Macedonia and in Achaia and everywhere in between. You see this? Their testimony of the transforming power of the gospel in their own life was something that everyone knew of and could see. The Thessalonians had followed Paul and the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul had been their example to follow, and now these people were growing in maturity and had become that which others could follow. Amen? And let me make the application. People need to see the gospel, friend. How do they see it? They see it in our own life. If there was ever a time that the world needs to see the difference in God's people, it's right now. There's a story of a little girl who was frightened and afraid by the thunder and the lightning and the nighttime storm. And so she cried out to her daddy. Her daddy came into the room and sat in her bed and held her securely in his arms. And her father explained to her that she didn't need to be afraid. God would take care of her because he greatly loves her and all of us. And she says, "Daddy, I know that God's going to take care of me, and I know that God loves me. But right now, Daddy, I want someone with skin on to love me." That's what people need. They need for us to be God's love to them with skin on. Amen? How do those who know us out in the world, how do those who know us view our lives and our faith? Is it a bunch of words? Or is there real power from real conversion that they are able to see demonstrated in the life that we live in front of them? Are we genuine? Are we consistent? Is there something different about us? Friend, there's a lot of quote Christians out there, isn't there? Are we different? I want us to be an example of the faith and trustworthy ambassadors of our King, the Lord Jesus Christ. This church, Paul says, were examples to all that believed in Macedonia and Achaia, from the north to the south of Greece, their reputation, their example, their testimony was spot on. People could see the difference. And folks, I'm saying not only do we need to speak, but we also need to model the Christian life before others. Amen? They need to see a difference in us. We're going to look further here in verses 8 through 10, and I'll just give you a little bit of a preview for when we pick this up again. But Paul says in verse 8, "For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not speak anything." Their testimony is revealed here again, but we're going to look at, next time, we're going to look at the advancement of the gospel. So we're talking about the significance of the gospel, the authority of it. And we looked here at the acceptance of it. But next time we're going to look at the advancement of the gospel, because Paul says, "From you sounded out in every place the gospel, it spread abroad." And then we're going to see the anticipation of the gospel in verse 10, how they wait for his Son from heaven. But before we close up here tonight, I just want to remind us again of the authority of the gospel. The message that we have, it's not just another religion. It's the word of God, the message of God, it's the power of God unto salvation. Amen? It's not dependent on our words alone. It's dependent on the Spirit of God. Some people think, "Oh man, I don't know if I can say anything to my coworker. I don't know what I would say," and so on. It's not up to you, and it's not up to your flowery speech. It's up to the Lord. What you need to do is just present the gospel and depend on the Spirit of God. Amen? Sow the seed. Amen? Not only that, and here's the reason why. Because it's good news. It's the greatest news that mankind can ever hear. But also we have the power and the assurance of the Spirit of God, who's going to work on our behalf. Just obey. All you got to do is tell people how God changed your life through the gospel. Amen? And we have the privilege and we have the opportunity to reach into our world and make a difference with the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's significant. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, pray, Lord, you'd encourage us and challenge us with this church in Thessalonica, the example that they were, the proof of the power of the gospel and the changed lives, and how it so radically changed them that their testimony spread throughout that entire country, from north to south, and every place from them sounded out. The gospel, their testimony was known. And Father, I desire for us to have the same kind of testimony and operate in the same kind of power of the Holy Ghost, giving the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We need to reach into our state. All across this state, there are villages of people who need the gospel. And then to our country, and then around the world. And we support many missionaries, and praise the Lord that we can do that. But Lord, I pray that we would be so moved and transformed by the power of the gospel ourselves. Lord, that from us would sound out the gospel in every place. Maybe that place means in the workplace. With those in our sphere of influence, Lord, put it on our heart. Burden us for their soul. This world is plunging into chaos. If there's ever a time that the gospel needs to be preached, it's now. And maybe, just maybe, Lord, you're using all of these things to crush hearts of men, to bring them to the end of themselves, and one last harvest of souls before the Lord comes again. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to be faithful to sound out the gospel. Lord, however you would choose to use the message tonight in every heart, I just pray that we would think on it, meditate on it. And Lord, that you'd use it to change us. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.